Hey, listen up. We got another episode of Wisecracks, featuring the crack man himself, Bill Krakenberger, and our co-host, John Orlando, straight from Las Vegas. Wisecracks is your ticket inside the world of sports betting, with tips, picks, special guests, and more. Only on WSN.com.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Wisecracks. I am John Orlando, and I have Mr. Bill Krakenberger with me, as always. How you doing, Bill?
Good, John. And hi, everyone. Thanks for joining us. I appreciate that every week.
So
I try to help you guys out a little bit with some nuggets of information and wisdom off my 25-plus year gambling career. And that's it.
I love it. There was a couple of nuggets that panned out last week that we'll talk about in a moment. But first, Bill, I just wanted to let you know that the theme of today's show for me is the show must go on. And I say this because I am not even 7 days removed from my hat. Might give it away, Bill. I don't know if you can read this or not. It says Vegas hair transplants. I had a hair transplant last Thursday, and as recent as yesterday, my eyes underneath here were black and blue and almost yellow. And I was like, oh my God, how am I going to do this show tomorrow and not look like a freak? And Magically, I woke up today and it's not terrible. Hopefully, those of you watching, it's not terrible. But I had a pretty crazy surgery last week.
So it's actual surgery where they go in and start like putting little, is that called plugs or not?
Dude, so it used to be called plugs. And I think plugs was like not your real hair. I'm not positive on that. But now science has evolved and it's pretty crazy, man. They take a strip out of the back of your hair. I'm not trying to be as graphic as it was, but it's a little more brutal than I'm making it out to be. But anyway, they take a strip from the back, 11 inch long, almost from ear to ear from the back of your head. And then they harvest little individual follicles. And like you said, they literally punch 3,500 grafts or holes, let's just call it, into the top of your head and plant this hair into your head. And it grows like the grass at Dodger Stadium in the spring crack.
It's incredible. That's funny, John, because most people are so secretive when they get these kind of things. You're transparent. Just like I am with my wins and losses in every sport and crack wins. So,
yeah, you know, thanks. You know, I think it's important for people to realize like it's nothing to be ashamed about. It's just it's a part of life for some people. Some people keep a full head of hair their whole life and some people lose it at 18 like my brother and some people lose it in their 40s like I did. And, you know, there's technology now in some cases that can help you through it. And why shy away from it? You know, it's just part of life. It is what it is.
Awesome, brother. Awesome.
Yeah. Thanks, man. But hey, let's talk about sports. Last week on the show, first of all, let me just tease the guest. We have an incredible guest today. We had, as you know, you were here with me. We had Phil Hellmuth a couple of weeks ago. And today we have another poker legend in Daniel Negreanu, from hailing out of Canada, current Las Vegas resident. And he's a big Golden Knights fan. We'll talk about hockey a little bit later in the show, too. But Daniel is arguably, you know, if you were going to speak of the goats and you don't mention Hellmuth and you don't mention Negreanu, then you just don't know poker. Would you agree with that?
Oh yeah. Thanks to you too, John, getting both of these guys. And another guy that I really like that I look forward to actually interviewing again, he not only a poker great, but a good person, you know, he's another guy that I was going to kind of save it for later, but I had my dad pushing him around a wheelchair, and out of all the 6-7 stars I pushed him in, poker stars, he was the one that was the nicest. So I thought it was, I think it's so fitting that he's on right after Hellmuth, and I appreciate you getting him, and look forward to talking to him.
Yeah, man. Yeah, that's awesome. But last week we talked about the tournament getting underway, and we spoke about Abilene Christian. And they were a pretty big dog and they ended up winning outright.
Yes. Yes, they did. Unfortunately for me, I had a ton of money on them in the first half. I bet them so many times. So I had +5 in the first half and they pushed. Now, I say unfortunate. Push, sometimes you're happy just to push. Not me. They didn't score in the last 7 minutes and 13 seconds of the first half.
I didn't realize that. That's almost impossible.
It's almost impossible.
I want to say that's a record.
7 minutes, 13 seconds, did not score. Not a record, because I've known teams that go nine minutes, 10 minutes without scoring.
Really?
But that's unusual.
I mean, that's got to be 20 possessions or close to it, right?
It is. Yeah.
Like, I mean, not even a foul.
They slow it down a little bit, but it was a terrible, terrible push. But they did win for the game. And then, don't you know, I come back to them second game, and they laid an egg and didn't. They were so pumped up for that Texas game, just like I talked about, especially the first half.
Yeah,
they were pumped up the first 13 minutes there, and they just kind of did the same thing. They're laid an egg there. The second game, I had them loser, but glad I came back with some. I usually don't bet favorites. I'm not a favorite guy, but you could bet favorites now, especially later as the tournament goes on. But even in that second round there, and first round, Alabama, really a strong game for me. I want to thank Circa for taking a large bet also. You know, some of these – it's so hard to get down the kind of money I want on a game. Whereas Circa, I bet 10,000 minus four, they took the bet. So in order to get down 10,000, at the rest of Las Vegas, I'd have to bet 2,000, 1,000, 2,000, 2,000. You know, so – thanks to Circa for letting me do that on the app. Now, this time of the year, it's funny. I put up a tweet. I'm actually going to go on my Twitter real quick and read the exact tweet I put up, because this time of the year, you could go to the brick and mortar casinos and bet that kind of money on the games, but they make it very difficult. I'm going to read you my tweet. Lots of sports books taking big limits, and they should, capital letters. If you can beat COVID college basketball during round one of NCAA tournament, then you deserve the money. Shame, capital letters, on the sports books who just throw out winning bettors. Not just Will Hill and Stations either. There's some other sports books out there that throw out winning bettors, and it's becoming a thing of regularity in the industry that I'm really getting sick of. And you know, a lot of them actually pretend to take bets too. And I have to bite my lips sometimes, which I'm not good at doing. So it'll probably cost me some media opportunities down the road. But I'd rather just be myself and just say, hey, I'd rather let people know what's going on in real life for guys like myself. But then again, you know, 97, 98% of players are not going to bet more than, you know, $200 on a game. The average bet, will be surprised. It's about $50 to $75 nationwide. It may go a little bit higher as the economy comes back a little bit. I know one thing. People are spending now. These casinos were packed filled, really, this past week for March Madness. And every weekend in Atlantic City or Las Vegas, it's amazing the foot traffic, what's going on. Vegas, you could not move last weekend. Busiest weekend that – probably one of the busiest weekends I've ever seen in my life. So,
yeah, it's funny you say that. I noticed I wasn't inside too many casinos over the past week, but I drove down the strip a handful of times, and the foot traffic, it almost looks like normal.
Yeah, no, that's a good word, normal. I'll tell you right now, it was above normal for foot traffic. And, you know, it's a political thing. You don't want to talk about these things, my wife says, but I'll tell you right now. Of course, we know the unemployment is unbelievable. I know four people that are making more money now out of work than they would be working. Now they put this PUA in there, another $1,400. And listen, for the most part, I understand people do need that money for backup bills, things they needed just to pay old rents and old debts they had. I understand they have those things, but I'll tell you one thing. Don't let no one kid you. We're going to talk from a street smart, common sense point here. They're spending it in the casinos.
Yeah.
So I don't care what they say, what anyone wants to say. It's a boost for the economy. Well, it's a boost for the economy casino wise. They love it. They want people to get PUAs every couple of months, every month. They don't care.
Yeah, for sure. It's really shocking that they, you know, with the casino, like with table games, blackjack, craps, roulette, almost every casino you can play almost as high a stakes as you want. You know, they'll make accommodations for you or give you a reserve table. You know, obviously I'm sure they set some sort of parameters and betting limits, but guys like Dana White that want to fire off, you know, a few hundred grand a hand on blackjack or whatever it is. Why isn't it that way with sports betting?
Yeah. You know, it's what I told Phil Hellmuth, right? I said, Phil, these casinos hate me to go in and take their money, but yet you, they the love to give their money to just to say they played with Phil Hellmuth. And I'm sure it's the same thing with like guys like Phil Ivey and maybe even Daniel, I'm sure. But yeah, some of the sports books, like we just talked about, like Circa, they welcome bets. They're taking bets. Listen, I'll tell you right now, the East Coast books, I know if you're in a casino betting, in a FanDuel book, which is at the Meadowlands or down at Bally's in Atlantic City or the Resorts International, which has DraftKings, you could go up there right now this time of the year. I mean, Sweet 16, you could probably bet what you want with an ID. So I know they do have a tendency to limit people also to a certain amount of bet. Listen, my FanDuel on my DraftKings account, I think I can bet 1,500. No, that's wrong. That's wrong. 2,000 a game, where my buddies can bet 5,000 a game. So I know they limit their exposure when a Bill Krakenberger definitely plays, but 2,000 a game is not bad. But you're right, though. It's different. The casino, even though it's the hold percentage is maybe even more on sports betting than certain games. Blackjack is a 1% game, 1.5% game with basic strategy. Sports betting is 4.5%, but the 1.5 is a guaranteed unless someone's card counting, and they will back off card counters. Sports betting is 4.5% if you're just betting in one casino, but yet if you have guys like Bill Krakenberger advising you, you're actually going to turn the table around on the sports book, because by the time the game tips, you would have laid 1 point and that aligns two, or you would have won over 150 on a, you know, 140 or 150. Let's use a real number. You go over 150, game closes 152. So mathematically, we're turning that edge around on the sports book. That's the main reason why they're a little bit hesitant of taking sports bets, large bets like they are the Dana White's playing blackjack. Listen, it's real simple. If Dana White had me at the table with him, just behind him, give him a little tap when the count was positive, or just saying a buzzword, whatever it may be, of ice cube or something, just a simple word. And he bets more when I say ice or I whisper something or tap him. You can guarantee after a couple days, maybe even shorter, they would be throwing Dana White out of the casino. He would not be allowed to play blackjack.
So, really?
Yes.
I like that. Yeah,
we're going to go out one of these days. I'll show you. You and I are going to go out. You're going to be, I'll be the guy that's standing behind the table, counting it down. Uh-huh. I'll signal you in and I'll give you my money. No, we're going to do this.
I love it.
I'll give you my money. I'll put the money up and give you a couple grand. I'll signal you in with a simple swipe of my hair just straightening my hat. You're going to jump right in with fresh money. I'm going to walk away and you're going to come in and you're going to start betting $100 a hand. And until I signal you out, and at the end of the day, we should win, but a peanut or something, though we don't have to win. We can lose too. The dealers can get the aces in the 10 also. But sure. This will be fun. You'll like doing this. You can beat them for me, John.
It'll be like that. It'll be like that movie, 21 with Kevin Spacey. Remember the book was Bringing Down the House? Yeah, I love
that. They're more onto this now, but let me tell you something. It's so hard to properly count and have the skill sets, the bankroll management, the temperament to be a card counter, that I would probably book anyone in my garage that wants to count cards. Not anyone. There are, of course, the top echelon guys in the world, but it's just, it takes so much more than just counting down a deck. And then you have to know, but by the way, before we would get into this kind of a situation, you would have to know the rules, not just basic strategy. But if I'm calling you in during a positive count, you're never hitting 16 versus 10.
Really?
So that's something. Yes. Never. Never. 16 versus 10.
Because when you're getting called in, you're saying that
when I'm signaling you in,
heavy with tens.
it means that you're not hitting 16. You're staying on sit. Matter of fact, you're going to probably surrender if that option is available, 16 versus 10.
That's because the shoe is loaded with tens, more tens than got it.
Yes.
Wow, that's really interesting.
Oh yeah.
I'm ready. Stuff.
How do we get on this subject?
I don't know, but I love it. Yeah. All right, let's go back to basketball. The tournament. How are you feeling about the next round, so to speak?
Next round. I'll tell you. This is a fun thing. You know, I don't watch a lot of games during the season. Basketball comes down to the last couple of minutes for the most part, spread wise. The bookmakers have pretty good grasp of the lines. Look at these games. Baylor, Villanova, Arkansas, Oral Roberts, who was really surprised everyone, Loyola, Oregon State, Houston, Syracuse, Gonzaga, Creighton, USC, Oregon, Michigan, Florida State, UCLA, Alabama. These are some fun games. This should be some really fun basketball. So I just ran down the street here and bet a game that I'd seen a line on that I really couldn't get anywhere else. I usually don't, as the tournament goes deeper and deeper, I really don't bet a lot of games, but yet I am betting 1, 2, 3, at least 4, which is unusual. 4 of the 8 games.
And so why is that? Why the change?
Well, I just think the lines aren't 3 of the games are pretty strong and 1 is just a medium one. I just think I have an edge on those lines. I know, one of them I bet already, and I know I have an edge on it. I just started moving, but I think that I think some of the lines just aren't set perfect. Now, when I say set perfect, let's say a bookmaker, you know, when I say something like that, it's not like a line is 6 and I think it should be 12. It's more like a line is 6 and I think it should be 7.5 or 8. Believe it or
really?
Not,
just
that little bit.
That's the money shot,
especially. As the line gets lower, if a line is 1, if I think the line should be 2.5, if that's what we come up with, it's a small play. It might be even a big play at 3. So, the margins are that small that make things bets and not bets. Do you understand? We only have a couple percent edge. The top syndicate sports betting groups in the world only have 3-4% edge. Like the great Jimmy Vaccaro said on Action, if you have a 57-58% season, wow, you should make yourself a lot of money. So for us to have over a 60% season this year in college basketball, just phenomenal. I couldn't ask for anything better. I can't wait till next season in college basketball already. That's how good college basketball has been to me the last 20 plus years.
Wow. That's a big statement.
Yeah.
And when you say when the line, you see the line's 1, you think it should be 2.5. What's happened there is the guys that set the line, they just got it wrong, in your opinion.
In my opinion.
Just a little off.
Now, there could be another group that thinks that the line's right, or the line maybe even should be 3.5. Not too often does that happen, though, because I know I get the best of the line. If another syndicate group is betting the other way, I had that situation last week, UCLA. Someone was betting UCLA. I guess they played Abilene. UCLA, the line kept going against me. I bet Abilene and the line kept on going against me. It actually closed a rarity that it closed a bigger favorite. So I had the dog there. I was on the wrong side of that one. And that's going to happen. It's going to happen. But as long as we're on the right side more than often, I think we were 9-7 or 9-8 in the March Madness. Nothing crazy, though. Terrible push, like I said, on Abilene. But some really good winners, blowout winners. I mean, we had some good plays. He had some favorites, Baylor, Alabama, just blew them away off the court. Not even close to the – never a sweat, really,
right,
in the second half of the game. So
we talked about Clemson losing in the first round last week as well.
Yeah, right? There's a lot of big-name teams went down. Illinois being the biggest name team, number one seed. I actually had a future bet on them that for a lot of money to win 50 grand. So that went down the tubes. I bet against them in the game. So I actually did win the game for a peanut. But some of the big names going down. We're only I actually don't have the three number one seeds. They're all left. two number two seeds. 9 of the 16 seeds are 5 or higher. So this is a little bit of an unusual year. Usually you don't get those higher seeds that are not that many anyway going into the Sweet 16. So, but it's been, COVID's been kept relatively anyway under control. But it still had a little bit of an impact. VCU had a bow out of their first round game to Oregon, then arrested Oregon team, you know, really, I don't want the right word, killed Iowa. So
yeah,
defending champ Virginia. Woof. They had it tough though. They had to cancel their conference tournament games, and then they had to spend the week in quarantine, and they showed up to Indy on Friday without practicing, and it definitely showed on the court. They lost to number 13 seeded Ohio outright. And a lot of the sharp guys were on that side. You see, you just didn't know which player on Virginia was going to be announced out, you know, you just didn't know if they were going to be up to the task. So as I did call on the show, the Abilene, they came out pumped and motivated in that first half also. And they covered the game, but they pushed the first half. So we'll see what happens though. Overall, I felt the lack of fans really in the bubble kind of maybe helped the underdogs and level the playing field a little bit. So exciting for the Sweet 16. I'm really excited for the Sweet 16. Should be fun. Looking forward to watch the games, which I normally don't even do. So
you'll be watching finally.
Yeah, I'll be watching. Oh yeah, I'm with a lot of other people as we get deeper and deeper. And you know, I'm going to meet some friends in town this weekend. So don't just everyone home. I know you guys are. Probably want action on all 8 games because they're on TV. You don't need that. Kind of enjoy it as a fan. But, you know, I have even my own friends. Well, I got New York and Philly guys. They say, what good's watching a game without having action on it?
They crazy? Can't do it. They can't
like
do it. It's
like guys that go to ball games. They have to have a bet on the game. Like you go to Yankee Stadium or Dodger Stadium, you got to have a bet on the game. That's – I go just for a dog and a beer.
100%.
And the you know, the take me out to the ball game. Peanuts, yeah. Pat Cracker Jacks, and you got NBA. And listen, I love MLB. I don't go to NBA games. I don't really go to college games. I don't go to NFL games, really. So I look forward to going to a couple of baseball games. Hopefully we'll see what the protocols are and what's going to happen here over the summer.
Yeah, man. I'm excited about baseball as well. I also would like to take this time to remind everyone listening and watching to head on over to WSN.com. If you haven't already done it, we've been talking about this every week for months now. This is the best site for guys like Bill and even guys like me that just love the action. They've got promos, bonuses, all the great strategy guides, and all the info on all the state betting laws, everything. Crack, you're on WSN.com. I want to say daily, multiple times a day, are you not?
Yeah, I'm, as a matter of fact, I'm on it right now. So you just look at the first article. I love these articles. So the first article is the best March Madness betting promos, the codes, betting bonuses 2021. So that's a great article. But there's also great articles about everything. I love the prediction articles. I love the articles on the industry. When you click on all news, you know, U.S. sports betting news, I really like following all this stuff that's going on in the industry. And there's an article on Florida, and the governor DeSantis provides new life for sports wagering talks. That's a place that I love to go to, but I probably don't go as much because there's not sports betting there. My brother lives there, so I look forward to for Florida to one of these days get sports betting. Anyway, there's articles on Connecticut sports betting, Tennessee. An article that I read that I didn't know what the numbers would be, but an actual sports wagering handle decline in New Jersey in February is not unexpected. So was not unexpected. So, well, you know, there's really good articles there that you can't watch. You can't get anywhere. You have to click on different Google searches to get what you can get on. Literally, it's one-stop shopping here. WSN. Make sure you check it out.
For sure. And Crack, I got to tell you, I know this little speech I've been giving every week is starting to pan out and work because I had no less than five messages on Instagram in my DM from pretty good friends of mine. I won't say their names because their wives don't allow them to make these sports wagers, Crack. They do this now on the on what they call the DL, on the down low, but they've headed over to Crack Wins. They've downloaded the app on Apple or Google. I know some of my buddies that are still a little archaic just going to crackwins.com to get the info and sign up, but it's working. You know, they've been reaping the rewards of your tournament picks and pro basketball and golf and with baseball right around the corner. I personally am very excited to get into baseball betting talk with you, Crack. But if you guys haven't already, head on over to the App Store, whether you're on Apple or Google, and download the Crack Wins app, sign up. And there is a multitude of information on there and tips from the Crackman himself.
Yeah, really enjoy the tournament so far. In the black a little bit here. Hundreds and hundreds of entries in the Crack Wins bracket contest. So I look forward to seeing who we're going to crown champion there and give them some free memberships. And going back to what you said about the wives, well, the wives wouldn't be so upset if their husbands were following me this particular season. So, and any season really, since the last 2 years since I started this app, you know, we're up a couple hundred units. So they're the wives either A, aren't told about the wins, or B, there's leaks in some of the people that are out there because they have to bet their own stuff and they're losing on their stuff and winning on my stuff. That's normal though. Actually, you know, there's a guy in my building. I was 21-6 on a stretch. And I was like, hey, Mike, you got to be absolutely killing it. And he said, no, I lost. I said, wait, hold it. Timeout. This is a month now that I have ridiculous results. He goes, yeah, I know, but I only bet parlays and I put my own stuff in there. Like, I can't help you then, buddy. That's all I can do for you is give you that stuff. So
there's an old saying, Crack, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink.
Yeah, you know, I know that you want to tap yourself on the shoulder and the back and get credit for what you do. And it reminds me of a Philly guy I know. He says, I will not bet anyone's games. I bet my own games. And I don't want to embarrass him, but to be real blunt, he never really has a bankroll. Now, he will have them swing. He will have bankroll swings where he has some money, but you know, the guy works every week real hard for his money and he has no responsibilities really. He just kind of gambles his money away on his own stuff week after week. It's that old definition of insanity. You're doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different outcome. But, you know, it's almost like they remember that first jackpot or first parlay they won. Yep. Or that first bulk of money they won on their own opinion. And they're just chasing that over and over, almost like a drug addict chasing their first high over and over. You know, why do that when you could just, you know, work your 40, 50 hours a week and then just follow Crack Wins. What we do for you, we put a lot more than that time into every week at giving out winners.
Yeah, it's funny that you mentioned that because I used to be guilty. Well, I still can be guilty of that as well. Not so much sports betting, but when I'm playing the table games and blackjack, like if you've turned a couple hundred bucks into 30,000, it makes it hard to appreciate a $400 win. It's okay to win. You don't have to try to outdo yourself every time. You don't have to, you know, oh, because I won 10 grand once, that's now the bar. I have to always win 10 grand. It doesn't work that way, does it, Crack?
You know, John, this brings up something. Online gambling, what I'm talking about that is just like you're saying, the table games, now all these apps back home, I said, you know, all you see is these online sites, legal sites, advertising video poker, slot machines, table games, live dealers. Now they have live dealers. You have a live dealer on video and you could play against the live dealer. That's all you see now in these jurisdictions that have these big European sites or these big sites that are booking sports now in the legal marketplace. Well, I'll tell you right now, that is the crack cocaine of gambling. You're home sitting in your underwear at night gambling when no one's watching you. It's the biggest form of closet gambling. It's destroying the gambling population. No matter who says what, I know the CEOs of the companies get mad at me and say, you shouldn't be talking about that. I got to talk like, listen, I'm not saying it's everyone, but a large, you know how many housewives are doing this? You know how many people are doing this that don't afford to do it, that can't afford to do this? I would tell you right now, I don't even trust it. I don't trust it. I need to be in a legal licensed casino regulated gambling place, brick and mortar place. I'm not trusting an online site to pay me properly, even though they're supposed to be regulated and stuff. Yeah, okay.
Right.
I'm cynical. I'm a New Yorker. And plus, not only that, it's a negative EV game. Even if it is 100% level and on board, I'll tell you right now, I just know human nature. I just know people, what they do. There's no one around. They're chasing their money. By the end of the night, they wake up the next day. And I've done this on certain things in my life when I was a kid. And John, you may have done this too. You ever wake up the next day with something that you've done the night before and say, was that a dream? Did I really lose that money?
Yeah.
So this is what people are doing with the online gambling at nighttime at home in the safety of their house and without anyone knowing.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, Crack. It's time to move on to the moment I've been very excited about. And I know you've been very excited about. We've got Daniel Negreanu joining us on the show today. Okay, Bill, it's that time, the time we've been excited for the last week now. You know, when they speak of the poker goats, if this guy isn't in the conversation, you just don't follow poker close enough. I mean, he's got 6 WSOP bracelets. I'm still trying to just cash a WSOP tournament, let alone win a bracelet. He's got 2 WPT titles. Of course, I can go on and on about accolades. You know, 2-time WSOP player of the year. He's the only player to receive that accolade more than once. You know, he's done it also with the WPT. Of course, I speak of Las Vegas resident Daniel Negreanu is with us today.
How y'all doing?
We're good, man. How are you?
Man, fantastic. Just got out of the gym, feeling pumped and ready to get the day started.
Yeah, you lost you transformed your whole body, I want to say, a little over a year ago, right?
Yeah, I've always been, I've been working out for about 6 or 7 years, but I went to a trip to Rozvadov and came back. I was like 176, 5'9", 176. So I worked with a different guy where we were like, let's just cut all the fat and rebuild. So I went all the way down to 138.6 and got like full ripped. And now I'm bulking back up. So, my ultimate goal is to be like around 160, 165, but feeling good. Yeah, it's fun. I enjoy it. Like a lot of people are like, why do you do that? You know, you bulk up and then you shred and you bulk up and you shred because I like it. It's fun.
Yeah. And I want to say you're vegan, right? Or do I have that wrong? Yeah, you are. And you don't have any problem getting the protein, right?
That's one of the biggest myths I think people get. Like if you saw the Game Changers film, which I co-produced on Netflix, that's one of the bigger myths is the idea of like, where do you eat your protein? Like, where does a gorilla get his protein? You know, all they eat is plants. Like there's plenty of protein and things you just wouldn't realize. And there's also, people take vitamins, right? Like vitamin B or whatever, but like you can take protein powders and, and assist you there too. But there's plenty. Like I get about 150 grams of protein a day. So, and I weigh 155.
Wow. Of course, I want to make sure I introduce you formally to Bill Krakenberger here on the show. He's a big fan, as well as our WSN producers. They're from Canada, and they are huge fans of yours. And we know you're a big hockey fan. So the first thing that came to mind is when we looked you up or when they looked you up on Wiki, it says the Maple Leafs are your favorite team. But you've certainly adopted the Golden Knights as your number two, I guess.
See, that's why you can't trust Wiki anymore, right? Because, who knows what they say. So I grew up in Toronto, and I was obviously a Leaf fan. They made some moves years ago that pissed me off. And then when Vegas, got a team here, I went all in. I helped bring the team here, from ticket sales and different things with the owner. So I'm, Vegas is my number one team. I live here, have for 20 years. And then I also keep my eye on Toronto and, root for them as well.
And now, Bill, when I said, hey, Daniel Negreanu's coming on the show, it meant something to you, right?
Yeah, it did. My dad was a big, I'm a very old fashioned, old school guy, Daniel. So my dad was a giant poker fan, watched TV every single night on TV in New Jersey. And he would call me up and tell me about what happened the night before. And I would actually get into it with him more than I would because he loved it. And so I sent him out to Vegas pretty fortunate. I got to send my dad to Graceland, different places in life. And I sent him to Las Vegas, and I pushed him around in his wheelchair. There was an event at the Bellagio, and I was like, come on, Dad, you're coming with me. When they're on break, we're pushing your chair in there, and you're going to talk to some of the poker pros. So I got to introduce him to Phil Ivey. I got to introduce him like Eric Lindgren, a couple other guys, the magician. But I pushed him into you. And, of course, people do this every day. You don't remember. But you told him, come on, get out of that chair. You're going to play with us right now. Come on. I'm taking you. I mean, it was just a great thing. And it made him feel so good. And it made me feel good. So that goes to show credit to your character and what your parents, how they raised you. So
I'm glad to hear you're old school, because I think we were allowed to say stuff like that back then. I don't know, 2021, if I did that, maybe I'd get in trouble for mocking my hand. You know, who knows, bro? I can't keep up.
Yeah. But thank you. Anyway.
You got it.
Yeah, man. I have another question for you too. So now you have this big heads up match they're talking about coming up in a week. I'm sure everyone's questioning you different things, but some people want to know, this is your real money you're putting up, right? You guys are putting up your own money. It's not. Is it sponsor money or is it your real money?
Oh, no. I put up 100% of my own money. And I also got side bets, too, because I laid minus 150 on myself in this match because I feel pretty strongly about it. So I got a decent chunk on it, and it's all my money.
And that's probably the right number. From what I'm seeing on the internet, I've seen some odds of minus 139 somewhere. I'm a sports bettor. That's what I do for a living.
If you can get 139... let me know, and I'll fire really? Some more at that price.
All right. I'm going to follow you on Twitter and let you know where it's at. So. Yeah, cool.
Daniel, you were going back and forth with Phil on Twitter last week. What's up with all that? What's going on?
So here's the thing. I love Phil. I think he's great. He's my favorite guy to play with. But, like, Phil has, you know, like some of us, kind of an inflated ego. And he takes it upon himself to say, like, he is the greatest poker player in the world, right? He plays one format, which is tournaments at the World Series of Poker. There's a whole bunch of other games and, you know, high stakes games across the world. And there's so many great players today that grind and work like 12, 14 hours a day where they're like, you know, they're killer. Like, so you look at Michael Jordan, right? People could say he was maybe the greatest of all time, right? Could he play today and be the best player in the league right now? You know, despite, you know, his accolades and stuff like that. I think if he went out there tomorrow, he might not be the best. So similarly, you know, Phil Hellmuth was dominant in his era in one specific thing. And I'm trying to tell him now, I was like, these kids today that are working their butts off, they're better than you by a lot. And if you want to prove it, that you're better than them, go play the high stakes buy-ins with them, the 100Ks, the 50Ks, 25Ks. And I offered him a bet saying you can't beat them because they're too good.
I love it. And wow. Does that apply to you too?
Of course. See, the difference with me and him is this, right? I look at what the kids do and I'm like, I want to learn from them. So I study with them. I'm always willing to adapt my game and, you know, not think like, oh, I've made it. I've got it all figured out. There's nothing more to learn. Once you get to that point, I believe in life where you think you know everything, there's no longer any room to learn and everybody else will surpass you because they're open-minded and they're going to be working using technology and computer programs to, you know, better their poker game.
Cool. You know, Daniel, before we came on, we said you only went out about 10 times in the last year, which I do understand. So do you go out and play live poker anymore? Or that's not, you're just strictly online or?
Well, I mean, obviously because of the pandemic, you know, I haven't left the house. I've been very careful and not really so worried about myself, but I got people in my life that I didn't want to bring it home to. And, you know, it's just, I thought it'd be more, you know, the sensitive thing to do, which is, you know, be super quarantined and we did that. So I don't play any live poker, but I did get my first dose of the vaccine. I get my second dose in about a week or two. So after that, I'm looking forward to getting back to the live poker tables and, you know, playing some high stakes poker. Cause I've been in the lab. We call it being in the lab when you've been studying a lot of poker. And I really feel like my game is better today than it's ever been.
Wow.
Good. And so you're staying home then working on your game, still doing other things and evolving and not letting things pass you by, like you said.
Oh yeah. I'm probably playing more poker now than I did before the pandemic. Cause I'm playing, you know, online pretty much every day.
What are some of the things that has changed about the game? Like when you mentioned these younger players coming up, what is it that they're doing differently? Like
just like anything, right? When we think of all sport, right? And you think of whatever it was, like hockey, you know, or baseball. But hockey's only recently sort of taken on the idea that analytics are a thing, right? Old school guys are like, use the eye test. Come on, forget about it, right? I'm like, how about combine the eye test with the analytics, which is just information. Like if you didn't call it analytics and instead just said information, who could poo-poo that? But you know, a lot of old school guys will. With poker, so many new opportunities now to study the game at a macro, like on a level where you can really break it down with like artificial intelligence that plays against itself. And then you learn from the computer, what is the computer doing in these spots? How are they balancing? So in the old days, you're a hustler. You can go, you play with some, you know, what we call fish. You make your, you know, you make some money. But today, if you want to reach the highest levels, it's not as simple as just like, oh, got a deck of cards, play. You got to learn and you got to study as well. That's new.
Very cool. Daniel, who do you represent now? Like, what, you, I know we all know you work for Poker Stars for years. Who are you working with now, and who would you recommend for the viewers and listeners?
Well, I'm glad you asked that question because I'm actually with now the number one site in the world, which is GG Poker. Okay, GG Poker, their software is so sick and so fun. Like, it's very interactive, super engaging. And, you know, after I finished my tenure where I was before, I wasn't planning on, you know, jumping on with anybody new because my life is good. I'm happy. But I was so excited to get on board with them because we took this company from sort of, you know, maybe it was like a fifth, sixth tier. And then within a year, boom, we, you know, GG Poker sponsors the World Series of Poker, has the highest buy-in terms. We broke the world's record, the Guinness Book of World Record for the largest tournament ever. So it's really been cool. And I think GG, if you want to play online poker and have fun, GG Poker is definitely going to be the one spot where you have the best playing experience for sure.
Did I hear you right? Did you just say GG Poker had the biggest online poker tournament?
They did. They had one tournament which had a guarantee in one tournament of $25 million.
Oh, my God.
So a guy, you know, it ended up getting to like $29 million or something like that. One guy comes home. He just sits on the computer, comes home. You know, he won first prize. He won close to $5 million.
Wow. I'm going to have to check this out. Now, is this legal in all the states or just certain ones? Or
unfortunately, you can't play in the United States.
Oh.
Yeah, not yet. But we're working on licenses. You know, that's the thing. You got to go state by state and you got to get regulated. But we're in the process of doing that. So hopefully, you know,
eventually the next year, they'll get there.
We'll get GG Poker in the, you know, Nevada and New Jersey, because I know you guys can play there as well.
That's where we are. Good.
Wow. Yep. So that site had that big of a tournament with no U.S. players, essentially.
That's a crazy thing, right? Because it's all international. So
wow,
it really blew up in, you know, like in Asia and a lot of different parts of Europe and stuff. And obviously we don't, a lot of U.S. players will travel and they'll go to Mexico. That's what I did, play the GG series. Okay. I went to Cabo, me and my wife, we got a house on the beach. It was beautiful. Spent 6 weeks playing the online World Series tournaments every day. It was a good time.
Do you think the WSOP will be back this year with players in a live casino playing? Do you think we're going to do that or
I do.
No? Yeah?
I do. I think, you know, normally you see the World Series start right at the end of May, goes June, middle of July. But I think what you'll see is maybe that's a little too soon, right? But things are picking up. A lot of people are getting the vaccine. It's rolling out pretty fast, you know? So I feel like maybe by the end of August or September, something in that neighborhood, we could have to see the live series then, and maybe, you know, have an online as well, like they did before. So a combination of the two.
Where would it be this year? Do you know? If it's not, obviously not Rio, right? We're Planet Hollywood now, or where is, or Caesars?
I have not heard any rumors that it's moved from Rio yet. I know that a lot of people are saying it has, but I don't know. I should find out, but we'll see. Yeah. I mean, I would hope it's the Rio, because as much as it gets for being like this or that, I liked it. It was very convenient, very comfortable. And, so I didn't have, you know, it was spacious. That's the thing. You need a lot of room to fill a lot of tables. So you need a whole convention space to run this thing.
And you're,
I want to ask you about,
go ahead, Bill.
I want to ask about that Black Friday. Where were you that day? And when poker really turned around, were you involved with another site at the time, I believe? And the high that it was at that day, I don't know if we've reached that again on online poker. But now that I see sports betting legal in half the country, I think that poker is going to bounce up there again. Just a hypothesis. What do you feel about that?
Yeah, no, I think, you know, since COVID, we've seen a lot of the numbers go up in places that it is regulated. But you bring back a really bad memory, because I remember that morning.
Sorry.
It's okay. That morning, my agent, Brian, he called my home phone. He never calls my home phone, right? So I'm like, it's 9 a.m. You know, that's early, first of all. He doesn't call me at 9 a.m., and it was my home phone. I'm like, uh-oh, this is bad. Something happened here. And then we found out that, you know, the government sort of shut down the main sites. And yeah, it's been a struggle ever since. It's kind of silly when you think about, you know, America's the land of the you know, the land of the free, but we can't sit in our underwear and play online poker all over the place. But you can in Russia. If you want to go to Afghanistan and play online poker, you can, but you can't in the free America. Like, it makes
it's so crazy.
It's an entertainment opportunity. People can spend their money the way they want to, if it's video games or whatever. At least this is a video game where you could actually make money. You know, you could learn to get good and you can actually profit. So hopefully more of the congressmen and whatnot pick it up and we go, you know, we expand to more states.
It's crazy that you can't play poker, but you can bet on horse racing. It makes no sense to me.
It really is silly. I mean, there's no logic behind any of it. It's just antiquated. Really what it comes down to, a lot of it was Sheldon Adelson, you know, who just recently passed away.
Yeah.
He was heavily anti-online poker because he didn't understand it. He didn't get it and he thought it was bad for his business. So he has spent hundreds of millions of dollars putting $100 bills into politicians' pockets to say, make sure you vote the way that I want you to vote.
Yeah.
So now maybe they're a little more freed up and, you know, we could see some change.
Cool.
Daniel, let me ask you this. There's a big story in the hockey world about Tim Peel, the ref that I'm sure you heard about this, right? The ref that early on in the game, I think it was last night, right? He said, I'll just read the quote minus one word. It wasn't much, but I wanted to get an effing penalty against Nashville early in the game. And obviously he took a lot of heat for that. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, well, he sort of had a bad reputation. There's been pieces written about him since 2012, 2015. But what's interesting to me is, like, I guess he didn't realize he was mic'd up, is that this guy got fired for something that they're taught, basically.
Right.
It's an unfortunate – NHL refereeing is horrendous. The idea that you should even up makes no sense. It's totally unfair. If one team takes five penalties, why should my team be penalized because they've been reckless and you just throw them a bone? That's just not how it should work. They should follow the rule book. So for this guy, I mean, he literally did something that most old school NFL referees or NHL referees were already doing. He just happened to have a mic on him. But I'm glad that this is coming to light, frankly, because they really need to update it, especially because the NHL recently is sort of embracing gambling, right? They're starting to, you know, talk about it more openly. So if you're going to take that route and you got referees just making decisions on a whim, right, now you're going to have yourself another scandal like you did in the NBA when that ref, you know, was forced to fix games and stuff like that. So
right.
Really important that this comes to light and it's buttoned up. And listen, the guy was retiring at the end of the year anyway. They just said, forget it. Okay, let's fire you. It's too much negative heat. But yeah, it is kind of ironic that, you know, he gets fired for doing something that all the refs do.
I think it happens in all sports, you know, like baseball. If an ump, you know, calls a ball a strike that maybe it was questionable outside and he maybe even has second thoughts, maybe he tries to even up the count later in that at bat. Or in football, you know, you could probably argue that there's holding on every single play if you wanted to call it. Do you think, though, that the, you know, paying back, you know, in this case, this is a little different with the hockey from last night, but overall with sports, you know, do you think that if a ref feels he made a mistake on a play, he called holding and maybe it was questionable, should he pay it back to the other team or just you can't do it like that, right?
Well, absolutely not. Here's the thing, right? You set out the rules. The players read the rule book and they're like, all right, I'm allowed to do this. I'm not allowed to do this. Now you call a penalty for something that wasn't supposed to be a penalty. I'm like, well, what do I do next time? Which strike zone is this? We should have the same strike zone. We should have the same rules regardless of, you know, the situation in the game, whether it's the third period, the first period, you know, and there's, it just makes no logical sense. And I hope that it's updated across all leagues. There's no owe you one. Listen, if you made a mistake and you called the ball a strike, okay, you can admit that later and say, listen, I made a mistake. That doesn't mean you go, ah, you know, later, I got you, bro. You know, we're going
right.
to blow you up. That's not how it should work.
My last thing for you, Daniel, I didn't know you were involved with the Las Vegas Golden Knights to get into Vegas. I never went to a hockey game until – I live in Las Vegas, of course. I did not know – like when the hockey came here, I was like, ah, maybe I'll go. Well, sure enough, I got some invites to sit in some box seats, really nice seats, a couple games, and I went to the Stanley Cup games here. I can't believe how fan-friendly – the Las Vegas Golden Knights hockey team and hockey setup is compared to other venues I've been through all over the country, not hockey saying, but other sports. I just, what a feeling. I absolutely love hockey now. I love the Vegas Golden Knights. So that's a really good feeling to know you were involved with that.
Yeah, no, they crushed it. They absolutely crushed it. With like, and you'd figure, you know, Vegas knows how to do the glitz and glamour with the opening show and the crowd and the music and everything like that. But, you know, you point out something I think is interesting for a lot of people. If you're not into hockey, you're not a big hockey guy, right? The hockey, probably more than any other sport, the difference between watching it on television and watching it live, the discrepancy is massive. Like, you watch an NFL game on TV, you get a good experience. You go to a game, I don't know, you don't know what's going on. You can't really see as well, you know. Like, might be better off just being watching it on TV. But with hockey, you know, for a lot of people, I mean, I love watching it on both, but I got three TVs set up. I watch all the games. But, you know, for a lot of people that are like, I don't know about hockey, go to a game, sit down low by the boards, hear the sounds and the crunches and the body checks and, you know, the horn siren and everything. It's a totally awesome experience. Even if you're not a hockey fan, you'll have fun. I bring, you know, I used to bring some girls or whatever. They don't know about hockey, but they're just there to dance and party, you know, have fun.
Yeah, it's awesome. Hands down one of the most exciting sports live, I think. You know, that and MMA. Like, I love going to UFC fights, but hockey definitely live is an incredible experience. Are you happy with how the team's looking this year?
I mean, team looks really, really good, obviously. You know, their record is impeccable. The issue with them, I think, in terms of like how good are they, it's hard to know, right? Because in that division, you've got Colorado, you got Minnesota, you got a banged up St. Louis. So there's four really good teams. Minnesota's sort of come out of nowhere. They picked up this Russian rookie, Kirill Kaprizov, who's been fantastic for them, and they've sort of changed the makeup of their team. But the bottom four, those are not good teams. So you beat up on San Jose, you beat up on Anaheim, you beat up on Arizona, like, are you really that good? It's kind of, you know, like, it'd be kind of like, you know, me playing poker with you or something like that, right? I'm supposed to win. Is that going to say like, I'm, oh, look at me, I'm a big shot. So the real test will come in the games against Colorado. When saying that's the tough part, is the top four is quite good. You know, it's a really, really good top four. So they're going to have a tough road to the Stanley Cup, but team looks good. The newest acquisition, Alex Pietrangelo, hasn't panned out yet. He picked up COVID, you know, that sort of, but even before that, like, I don't know, it took him a little bit to settle in. This guy's supposed to be, you know, a really big part of our team and just kind of been okay. So yeah, a lot of room for improvement with Cody Glass as well. You know, he's struggled to really sort of make a name for himself in the NHL, kind of up and down the lineup right now, in and out of the lineup. But the team looks good. There's question marks, sure, in the bottom six and, you know, some on defense here and there. But it looks good. They're number one in goals against average right now, which is crazy. You never would have thunk.
Have you gone to a game yet or not yet?
No, I don't leave the house. I don't leave the house. But I will. I will go to games as soon as I'm in the clear. As soon as they say, you got all the antibodies, you're good, no COVID for you, I'm there. I'll be in my seat.
That's a couple more weeks for you, right? Probably.
Yeah, something. Probably the middle of April.
Okay, and the big heads up match is coming up next week. Where can everybody watch that?
Yeah, so the only way to watch it, and you can watch it live, is on Poker Go. So Poker Go, you can find it. It's an app or whatever, and it's a subscription based model. So you got to get a subscription. It's about $10 a month, something in that neighborhood. But they have lots of great content. You mentioned some of the old shows your dad used to watch, like High Stakes Poker and Poker After Dark. Those are back, but you know they're behind a paywall these days because it's just the way that the world works. But it's definitely worth the money to get yourself a PokerGo subscription, and you're going to see an absolute slaughterhouse victory for me. It's going to be, it is going to be such a dominant performance. It's going to be just, yeah, it's not even, I don't think it's going to be close. I'm going to bring a towel with me and I'm going to throw it for him.
Oh, wow.
Wow. This is big, big, bold predictions coming out.
You guys are friends though, right, Dan? Are you friends?
Yeah. But see, this is like, you know, we're friends. He doesn't like what I say about him, all this kind of stuff, but that's the way things used to be. You know, you can needle your friends. I make fun of them, right?
That's right.
I'm not afraid. Like, what were you afraid about? Pins and needles. I hurt his feelings. Oh, poor guy. What? Come on. You know, let's be real here. I can have fun with the guy. If he's going to say shit like, I'm the greatest poker player in the world, I'm like, all right. I call your bluff right now.
It's like old gangster movies, right? This is business. It's not personal.
Exactly, right? Like in hockey, you see, one of the greatest things about hockey, two guys will pound each other like crazy. They'll beat pound each other's faces in. And then later that night, you see them at the bar they're having a beer together, right? Wow.
Cool, too funny. Cool. Well, Daniel, listen, thank you so much for stuff. Oh, well, last question for you, Ashley. I want to know, do you ever bet on any of the hockey games? Do you bet on sports ever?
I do. I bet on hockey. I haven't this year because I just sort of got off to a late start with sort of my research. But I was doing bets on my Twitter handle, NHL Hockey Bets. Didn't have a good year last year. Oh, boy. Yeah, it did not go well. I'm a dog bettor typically. I like to take the price and take the juice. And they didn't win for quite a while. They went through some streaks. But this year, dog bettors seem to be doing pretty good, I think.
Crack, cool. Do you ever bet on hockey?
I do. But, and you know what? I am under the same thing, you know. I'm a dog better. I'm a dog better in life mostly. It used to be bigger dog better. Maybe I was betting 65%. Now it's a little bit more evenly down to 60. But taking the price like in baseball and hockey in the end, that's the right thing to do in the end. You can't win betting favorites. So
yeah, especially hockey, because in hockey, one team can completely outplay and dominate the other and lose the game 2-1. Right. You look at the analytics and, you know, the expected goals. It's like it should have been 5-1. Oh, but they lost 1-0. You know, there's a lot of luck and there's a lot of bounces in hockey. So if you can get 2-1 on any hockey game, you're like, all right.
Right.
You know, spin the wheel.
Right. Yeah. Was that only a small sampling, or did you have a play almost every single day on a hockey dog?
I was betting most days. Like, obviously some slates, it's only two games. But if there were six or more games, I usually had at least one or two plays. I did not do well last year. It was like, if you bet against me last year, you would have done really well.
I know the feeling, okay, Daniel. Though. Crack reminds me of that almost every episode, that if you want to make some money, just bet against me. And you'll be in the black.
BetAgainstJohn.com is the URL.
All right. Well, Daniel.
Thanks for joining us, Daniel. Really nice. Glad John got you on here. It was really great to meet you and look forward. I'm going to follow you on Twitter and look forward to seeing this match. And I'm going to look to bet this -130. Now, boy, Phil's going to kill us. We had Phil on a couple of weeks ago. He's going to be mad, but I got to go with the mathematical edge here, laying 139 when Daniel's laying 150. So,
yeah, I'd lay 2-1, just saying.
Wow, that was a fun one, Crack. Another poker legend joining us on Wisecracks. Your thoughts?
It's so great that these guys are so open. They can come on air with us too. And you've done a great job with these kind of guys. This guy was a special person. So really good. Great job, John.
Thanks, man. Well, listen, Crack, before we wrap up, me being a diehard UFC fan, it would be crazy for me not to bring up this weekend's UFC fight. Specifically, the main event is a rematch against the current heavyweight champ, Stipe Miocic, against Francis Ngannou, who is just an absolute monster. Francis lost the first one, but I think he's going to come back. It's real close. I think Stipe's even money. I think Francis is -120 right now. And I see Francis getting this one done and setting up an incredible trilogy. That's what I see happening. So I will be. I know you hate when I do this, but I'm betting the house on Ngannou, Crack.
Oh man, there's no house betting for me. But
all right, fine.
I'll even give a pick here.
Okay, what do you got?
Well, Alabama's been so good to me. I actually liked Alabama, and I actually bet them -5, -20. I bought the 5. I like buying. When these games are a lower total, but I like buying when it gets later stages of the tournament too. So I'm looking right now. Alabama opened up 143.5, about to buy 145.5 now. But I bought down to -5 on that game, and Alabama's been good to me. Hopefully, they keep the train going there.
All right, there you have it, sports fans. Words of wisdom from the Crack Man. Thank you for tuning in. And Crack, as always, I had a great time, and I look forward to doing this again next week.
Awesome. Great.
All right, everybody. Time. We'll see you next week on Wisecracks.
See you guys.